have to ask a couple of questions this morning before we get started. Why are you here today? What are you doing here? It's a valid question because most of the time we come into the church, we sit pretty much in the same place. I think I preached a little over a year ago here, and it looks like you're pretty much in the same spot you were a year ago. And what that tells me is, you know, heaven forbid somebody take your chair. We don't want that to happen, but what you're looking at is the back of the same head you looked at a year ago. And you have to have a reason for being here besides just doing that. You have to ask yourself the question, am I here just taking up space? Or does this really mean something to me being here? And let me tell you why I asked that question. I've been in this church for 30 years, at least 30 years, maybe more. I came to know Jesus here at that altar in 1983. That's a long time ago. It was Easter Sunday of 1983. I didn't think I was saved because I didn't cry. I didn't understand, but this much I understood. I always thought I was pretty rough and tough and all that. But I didn't have the faith enough or guts enough to come out of that second pew or row of chairs to the altar until I heard God say, if you'll make the first step. If you'll take the first step, I'll give you faith enough to take the second and the third, and that's the way we come all the way to the altar. But I realized it wasn't about the emotions, it was about the step of faith. And that I had actually did what God asked me to do. And it wasn't a matter of emotion. It was a matter of trust and faith in my Savior. No one discipled me after that. When I began to read His Word, I had read the Bible all the way through before I ever come to know Him. And then I read it through afterwards and it began to make sense. And God is faithful to that. Why I ask the question why you're here this morning is, I can remember in those days, every time there was worship, there were hands going up all over this place. I remember during the preaching, you would hear somebody or a bunch of somebody's say amen, or ouch, whatever the case may be. But at least I understood this much. Somebody was here, and this really meant something to them in their act of worship on Sunday morning. And now it feels like there's something missing. And as I was praying about this sermon a couple of weeks ago, God led me to this scripture in John chapter 21. Verses 15 through 17, where Jesus actually reinstates Peter to a new position of love and loyalty. Let me set the stage for you. Peter came from Galilee. Let me kind of explain that for you. I'm a bricklayer. I work in construction for a lot of years. And I came into the church. Peter was a fisherman from Galilee. He was pretty much on the same level as that. He came to know Jesus. And he followed Jesus. He was a pretty rough and tumble type of guy. And he was always acting off the cuff. Even just before this, Peter dove in the water, left the nets, and swam ashore to see Jesus. And as Jesus reinstates him, he begins to tell Peter, you aren't going to be able to do this kind of stuff any longer. You won't have to, because everything about you will change. And he asked him, do you love me? But in Jesus' words, do you love me? The word he used was agape love. It's interesting to note that every time Peter told Jesus he loved him, he used the word philia, which means a different kind of love. It's more of a conditional kind of love when he was talking to him about that. And then Jesus asked him again, and I understand that he's reinstating Peter back to his position, but because there is still in the Middle East that I forget the word, but it's a custom that if you agree on, if you repeat three times on any given thing, that's the word, that's what holds, that's what it's about. So they're going through this. Peter would have understood that, and of course Jesus did. But it's in a moment where they just finished eating, and everybody's kind of at odds with one another. They're already thinking about what they're going to do when the kingdom comes. What position am I going to have in there? And so it's kind of a contentious moment when, and you've been there, at family gatherings. And all of a sudden, Jesus gets Simon kind of aside, and he begins to ask him this question. Do you love me? And finally, he asks him one more time. Jesus, do you love me? And Peter is hurt. He's cut to the quick. And he begins to understand something. What's going on here? Don't you know, Lord, don't you know all things? You must know that I love you. But he uses that same word, filial. And even though Jesus reinstates him, he begins to tell him a little later in the passage about when you were younger, what kind of death you're going to die, because by the time you get there, you will have learned what this agape love is all about. You will have given me everything, just like I have you, because I love you. Can I tell you this morning, you have to wonder if this unconditional agape love is really possible in your life and in my life. It's easy when you're in a group setting or in your family setting to love those you love. But what about the cousin or uncle or brother-in-law or sister-in-law or brother or sister that instead of unconditional love, you're looking for a baseball bat? And you'd rather treat him with that than you would unconditional love. Because that's how we feel sometimes. That's how it is with us. But I submit to you today that it is possible to achieve this agape love. In the 70 years I've been on this earth, I understand this much. It doesn't happen overnight. And I'm still learning it. I'm still trying it out. I'm still being tested in it. And so will you. And the thing of it is, not only to acquire this, but to stay in this love relationship. You see, Jesus, in John 3:16, the ultimate sacrifice, where he God so loved the world, that he gave his only son, that whosoever, that's you and that's me, would accept that, would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus not only wants us to have everlasting life, he wants us to love one another with that unconditional agape sort of love here, so that the world may know. I can give you a lot of scripture, but I'm not going to, because you need to read your Bible. And you figure it out. That the world may know that you come from him. And he loves you that much. I think there's people in this place today that have never understood how much God really does love them. And how much he wants to. And how much he wants to indwell you with that love to the point of you will love those around you the same way. Because when you do, the world doesn't see you. They see Jesus. And when they see him that way, they're drawn to him as well as to you. So it's a quite an awesome responsibility, this thing. I think Peter didn't realize it until Jesus told him to go to Jerusalem and stay there with the rest of the disciples until the Holy Spirit comes. And when he did, Peter stood up and preached with that heart of love, finally, that Jesus gave him. 3,000 people came to the Lord that day. You know that's possible for you? Maybe not 3,000 people, or maybe 3,000 people. But maybe three. Maybe even one. Because of that heart of love. How do you get there? How does it happen? You can't just talk about this and say, boom, out of the sky it comes. But for some people, maybe it does. But staying in a love relationship to develop it means that you must spend as much time as you can in the Word and in prayer. Now, the minute I say that, I can see the eyes glaze over. Because when you talk about the Word and prayer, people begin to think, oh, that's boring, that's terrible. But if you've ever done that, if you ever spent time doing that, and I'm talking about shutting off the TV, the internet, any of the other devices there are out there, and I'm talking about doing that, and I know that's not easy. But when you do, Jesus has a way of showing up. You see, yesterday morning, before I could do anything else, I got a little camp on the backside of my property, and I went over there to work on this, mostly to pray. But see, there's nothing over there. There is no TV, there is no phone. Although I took mine, I left it on vibrate. There's no other device there. It's just wicked quiet. If you spend any time after using all those devices in your life over a period of time, if you spend time where it's wicked quiet, it will drive you crazy. The quiet will. But as you spend time in the Word and spend time in prayer, that slowly subsides. And that still small voice of the Lord begins to speak to your heart. The first thing he'll tell you, and this is my experience, is, I don't know if you know this or not, Gary, but you don't know how much I love you. And he begins to show me scripture that talks about it. Not only for God so loved the world, Jesus talked about it constantly. Peter and Paul understood it finally. But it must be developed in time alone with the Lord. When that happens, when we gather together in this place, and you begin to get thankful for what God has done with you and talk to you throughout the week in those times, you can't help but have a hand go up. And you might even say amen. Or ouch. Whatever it is. Let me tell you the secret to all of this is understanding that you and I can never, ever muster up this kind of love. We can practice at the other kinds of love where it's conditional. If you do this, then I can do that, or that type of thing, whatever. But only the Holy Spirit can give us this gift if we seek it with all of our heart. There's a good place right there to say amen or ouch if you haven't been. Only the Holy Spirit can give that gift. Thank God it's not up to me. After all of these, I gotta ask you again, what's your motivation? Or lack of it in your relationship with Jesus. You know, even right here today, we can begin, we can start in this relationship looking for that love to be instilled in our hearts. Right here, it talks about giving up. Boy, it got quiet in here. This whole scripture talks about, I can't do it on my own, so I'm going to have to surrender something. I'm going to have to surrender my heart totally and completely to the Lord. I don't know what you're dealing with. If there's sin in your life, there's a past you're working on, if you just can't seem to quite get it together, when it comes to this relationship with Jesus, maybe, just maybe today, you're gaining just a little bit of understanding as how much He loves you. And how much He wants you to love Him. It cost Him everything to love you. What has it cost you to love Him? This is where that silence gets really deafening. And it begins to give us that funny feeling. What does it cost you to get that love? Peter had told Jesus one time, I'll die for you. I don't know if he meant it or not at the time, but Jesus tells him after that, after he reinstates him here is, you will die for me. It will cost you everything to have followed me, to have sought me, to have found me. Are you there? I guess you have to ask yourself, what's it worth? What's it worth to really love God like He loved me? What am I willing to give up? What am I willing to let it cost me? Will God take everything? He might. But whatever he replaces it with will be greater than anything you've ever given up. It will be. I can tell you that after these years of following him. Has it been easy? No. Sometimes he has to pry your hand off of something, one finger at a time. All he really asks, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than your family? Do you love me more than the stuff in this world? Do you love me more than what you do outside these doors? That's what he was asking Peter. When all the disciples wanted to be greater than the others, he's kind of telling Peter, when you get in the right position, you will be greater. Because it's a servant's heart of love that I'm looking for. Then you will be elevated in a relationship with me that no one can take from you. No one can ever hurt you with it. You will always be fine because you love me. I never preach long. I can't. God never gave me that ability. I have a few times, and I come to the end of the sermon and I look up and watch people dozing off all of
them. Ouch.
If you just woke up, you should have said that. But God loves you. And this is how I'd like to end this service today. If you've never given your heart to God in love, like Pastor said, the altars are open.